بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Last time we looked at tafsir, so this time we go back to Al-Mahajjat Al-Bayda, the commentary of Kashani on Ihya Ulumuddin. From what I remember, the last lecture we did last term was on ghadab, anger. The voice of anger and how, and we saw that anger is one of the sort of principal vices, a vice which leads to other vices. And two of the other vices, which in fact in the book Ghazali brings, groups anger with them, is hikad and hasad. Hikad means hatred. And hasad, all of we know, the word is very common, means jealousy. Now as far as anger is concerned, anger in itself is one of the sort of instincts in mankind. In every man has got this thing. And in itself it is not a bad thing. It is there so that you can be motivated, be pushed to bring your benefits, to fight for your benefits. That is, it's a survival instinct. Fight for your benefits and to keep away that which is harmful to you. So in itself, anger is not a bad thing. But it is when it gets out of control. So all the things that we say were actually when anger, gets out of control. And as the hadith of the Prophet says, don't let anger do something that is not lawful. That is, get out of the limits and the bounds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. In fact, anger in some cases is very good and has been sort of recommended. To be angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you see things are being wrong, when others' rights are being snatched, you get angry. Motivate yourself so that you move and do something about it. And that's why even Ghazali says to remove anger totally. It is possible, he says, to sort of make somebody so that he feels nothing about nothing. He doesn't even get motivated ever. Even if he is, everybody walks over him and walks over everybody's right. Fine, who cares? He says this is not what ethics is about. Anger is good in the right place, because it motivates and pushes you. And anger for selfish motives, is that what we are sort of here sort of trying to control? And in fact, there is a famous hadith of the Prophet which I didn't mention, very famous, that the Prophet asked, who do you think is the strongest and the bravest of all men? And everybody said, anybody who can throw others down and sort of fight others, wrestle and sort of win. And the Prophet said, no. The person who is brave and strong is a person who can control himself when he's angry. It's a very difficult thing to control yourself when you are angry. So anyway, we saw two sort of good qualities as far as anger is concerned. Is Kazimunul Ghayz. Kazim is a person who controls his anger. When he's angry, he can control it. And the other was Halim. And as we saw, Halim is actually one of the qualities of our names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Halim is somebody who doesn't get angry. Kazimun al-Ghayz is somebody who gets angry but can control it. And Halim is doesn't get unnecessarily angry easily. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Halim. After all, we are his slaves and we disobey him all the time. He doesn't punish us immediately. He doesn't get angry and say, you punish me, finish. Because nobody would be sort of alive in this world. He's Halim. He lets us, gives us time to realize and ask for forgiveness. Now anger, as we said, hikad and hasad come from anger. When you are angry at somebody and you try to suppress your anger, you do not act upon it, and rightly so, then this may lead to hatred for that man. Means within yourself there is this heaviness for that man, dislike for the person. that he is so and so, though you don't try to harm him or anything, but this creates hatred. And this hatred, when it may grow into what is known as hasad. Now, hatred, as we know, I mean, it burns you, it affects you. It's not going to affect the person you are hating. So to get rid of hatred, there's no point in hating somebody. I mean, why do you want to feel this hatred for somebody and sort of put yourself or make yourself uncomfortable? But after all, hatred in the minimum sense is making you uncomfortable, making, and as it grows, may even lead to jealousy. So hatred is something that has an been denounced and is a vice that we should try to get rid of. Now, how can you get rid of hatred? I mean, it's not easy to... The first principle to get rid of any of these vices is to be aware of them. And then whenever you see in yourself pinpointed, try to do stop yourself from acting over it. And the other way which Ghazali says is to do the opposite. Now, hatred makes you do what? Talk bad about somebody. And when we say, talked about ghiba, that is vices of the tongue, we say tongue is not responsible for ghiba. In fact, it is hatred and hasad, which then leads to ghiba. You talk bad about it. You make fun of somebody. Maybe on the top you are making fun. It's coming out of your hatred for them, so that you make him low. And all these things. So instead of making fun of him, you talk good about him. You want to make fun of him. You want to abuse him. Don't abuse him. Talk good about him. And yourself, or within yourself, you would sort of say that this hatred is not resulting in the right sort of thing, that is abuse and other things, and it will go away from you. Talk good about him. Think good of him. Praise him in front of the people and all these things instead of abusing him. And this acting against will remove hatred for the person. And the other thing is also, which has been sort of recommended a lot, in fact, in the ayahs, and is afu. Afu is forgiveness. Okay, there may be hatred because genuine hatred because somebody has done bad or zulm on you, has usurped your rights. Don't forget, there is a difference between your rights and others' rights. You cannot forgive somebody for some usurping other people's rights, but you can forgive him. And this is very good. If somebody has done your personal bad to you personally, then you can always, forgiveness is much better than taking revenge or whatever. So af, which has been sort of praised a lot, is one of the things to get rid of hatred. If this hatred is due to some disagreements, all these things, you can forgive him. Be generous and forgive him. Or as the hadith sort of go and say, if somebody, you see, one of the conditions of iman is silatul rahm. Silatul rahm is when somebody is your relative. Rahm means a womb of womb, and your mother's womb, you are connected through your mother's womb, your sister or whoever, close relatives. Sila means to be nice to them, at least to ask. The minimum thing is to ask, go and visit them, even if you don't help them financially, all those things, go and help them, visit them. Or so if somebody does kat or ram, kat is to sort of cut off this rahm. Sila is to connect, to keep the connection open, the connection which is due to your birth. You are a relative somebody, and cut is to break it, not to ask, not to care, not to worry about them at all, those who are connected, very close, related to you. Then in many hadiths we say that you go and connect yourself to those who have cut off from you. So if there is somebody who doesn't visit me, related closely, I go and visit them. Even if he doesn't come to me, doesn't matter, I'll go to him. And also sort of part of sila is to give something, presents to your relatives. If they don't give, you give. And so on and so forth. This thing builds, keeps the connection open. And in fact, silatul rahm is in fact given in many other hadiths, saying that there is something which increases the life of a person. There is nothing like silatul rahm which increases the life of a person in this world. I mean, forget about what you get in the akhirah, but also increasing the life, your lifespan in this world. One of the things mentioned many of the hadiths is Silatul Rahab, something which I'm sure none of your GPs or doctors will tell you or prescribe if you want a long life. But one of the things is this. Now, we may come to that some other time, but we'll see that it has have certain implications. Yes, Sila is really very good. Now, Af is forgiveness, to forgive, and this also is forgiveness. Somebody cuts you off, you go to him. So, forgiveness, or forgive when you have been wronged, some rights, you are entitled to something somebody doesn't give to you. You are entitled to some respect somebody doesn't give to you. Somebody meets you, doesn't salute you. You are entitled as a Muslim. Somebody meets you and he sees you first, he should greet you. He doesn't, you go and greet him. This is the minimum sort of af that you can do without any money being spent here, without forgiving him of any financial or any material. I think you go and greet him. There is no harm. And this is also af. Your rights have been sort of neglected, but you forgive them and go ahead. So af is something that removes hatred. Because if you don't do it, he turns away, you turn away, and hatred is, there is the ground for hatred, and that is where shaitan comes. So see, he is doing this, brings all the waswas, and you try to do big. This is why, I mean, this is coming into the vices. This is why these are the channels through which shaitan comes in. And af and others, for example, Qazi Min al-Ghaiz, Halim, all these are ways that you do not allow shaitan even an opportunity to come in the middle. And this is the whole basis of akhlaq, is to remove the channels in which shaitan can come. As we have said before as well, in the Quran also, when we look, hikmah, which is, in fact, some people say that is what akhlaq is, hikmah. Is, and Quran also says that it is not of this world. All these things, anger, hatred, hasad, jealousy, these are things because in this world, resources are limited. You want something, somebody else wants it. He gets it, you don't get it, there is hatred. There is hasad, there is all these things, right? Not everybody can get. For example, examples of hasad, Yusuf's brothers. They wanted his father's love was being given to Yusuf. Remove Yusuf, so we will get it. There is only one father, there are so many children. Everybody wants his love, all the children. So then, all of them cannot get equal amount of it. There is hasad. Money, wealth. This finite amount of money in the world, everybody can't get everything they want. So there is jealousy and all these things. So the world is such that there is conflict, and these conflicts create all these things, hatred, hasad. But hikmah is something that overrides this, removes the conflict. And wherever you see that conflict is being removed, where there is potential conflict is being removed, that is hikmah, and that is something that does not belong to this world. That's why it says, the world is said is mataun kalil, hayatu dunya mataun kalil. This world or everything in it is something that is very little. Whereas hikmah, when Allah says, He says khairun kasir, whoever has been given hikmah has been given a lot of good. So, I mean, how can mataun kalil contain a lot of good? So it seems that hikmah is not of this world. It is from the hereafter. It's something that does not belong in this world, but we have been given it. It is something, a test of heaven, in fact, in this world. And hikmah is all these things. Af, when you are angry, don't be angry. Forgiveness. And being kind. Being lenient with your friends. All this is because it removes this conflict. If you forgive somebody, you are removing a potential. There is a conflict. Somebody has denied you something. Doesn't salute you. Doesn't come to you. Or even basic rights. I mean, he owes you something. Doesn't pay you. Forgiveness removes the conflict from the roots. And that is from this hereafter. It is a piece of Jannah which is being given. It is of heaven, not of this world. So remember this. Wherever you see conflict and you can remove it, then think of that as a good thing. It is something from heaven. It is heavenly quality. And that's what we should be aiming for. So af is one of the things, forgiveness, that you can get hatred out of you. Another thing is rifq. Rifq is friendliness or leniency. You see, there is a hadith which says a lot of things can be got by rifq, by friendly manner, by being soft and polite. And there is a lot which is being refused to somebody in this world, not talking about the hereafter, because they are harsh and hard. If you treat people harshly, if you treat people badly, there are things that you will not get. And if you are lenient with them, polite and nice and soft with them, then you will get things which you would be refused otherwise. And rifq also is one of the things. Being lenient with the people is one of the things which removes conflict. There is hatred between you and somebody. There is bound to be sort of this impulse in you to treat him badly. But if you go against that impulse and even then be friends with him, then this is going to remove your hatred. Now when hatred grows, it turns into hasad. And what is hasad? The definition of hasad is, if somebody has got something good, then you wish that that was taken away from him. If somebody is rich, you wish he wasn't rich, or he loses his wealth. If somebody is clever, you wish he isn't clever, he doesn't get the good grades that she is or he is getting. If somebody is an alim, you wish he wasn't an alim and he didn't know what he knows. That is one, and the other aspect is that something bad happens to him. Somebody who is jealous of somebody, and he cannot see anything good on him, and he is happy when something bad happens to him or her. This is jealousy. So you want or wish very hard that any good that he has is taken away, and that he gets all the bad that is in this world. Now there is another thing which I don't know, my English is not that good, but in English we call envy, or in Arabic the word is gipta. Gipta is when somebody has got some good quality, but you want that good for yourself as well. But you don't want to go away from the other. Somebody is clever, you want to be clever as well. Somebody is hardworking, you want to be hardworking as well, but not necessarily wanting not her or him to be hardworking or good or nice. This is gipta, and it's good for good cases. Obviously, for bad things it is bad as well. If somebody is doing something through bad means and you wish that you are doing it through the same means, that is different. So gipta or envy, I don't know, in some cases envy is similar to hasad. I don't know the language and the implications of modern English language, what the connotations are. But the meaning is this. If you want the same thing that others have, but you do not want it to go away from others, this is gipta. There's nothing bad with it. It is good, in fact. Your competition, to compete with somebody in good things, is good. But hasad in certain cases is allowed, though it is not truly hasad. It is if somebody, for example a king, because of his power, is being a dictator or is dictates, being a tyrant, and you wish that he wasn't a tyrant, he didn't have the power, he wasn't a king, because you are wishing that good is taken away from him. Being powerful and being a king is something good, you want it taken away from him. But you want it for good reasons, so that he is not a tyrant. You're not sort of jealous of him or wishing that these good things be taken away because if they are good and you don't want him to have it, but because so that he doesn't do bad with it. Or anybody misusing the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you wish that ni'mah wasn't there. Then this sort of hasad is in fact not hasad. You are wishing something good and it is good. Now I don't want to go into hasad because there is a lot about hasad and we have all heard about it. And one of the most famous hadiths of the Prophet is that the hasad kills or burns your good acts like a fire burns the dried leaves or dry wood. Just as a fire spreads very hasad, if you have hasad for somebody, it burns your actions. So don't be surprised on the day of Qiyamah, you see that I have done all these good things. No, they have been burned. They were burned by you because you were jealous of somebody and you did so and so. Or also, for example, the second last surah, when we take refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we take it from somebody who is hasid. Because hasad, somebody who is jealous of you, you don't know when he's going to, you are not aware of what he or she is planning in the background. And these sort of things are very difficult to get sort of protection from, because something that you don't know, you cannot prepare for it. And that man or woman may be sort of planning, devising lot of schemes to get rid of anything that is good with you. And so that bad befalls you. So hasad, and especially he has got a big sort of chapter on hasad of those. He says that we find that those who are in close contact with each other, that hasad grows more amongst them, amongst those who are relatives of each other, brothers, sisters. Because you every day are in contact with them, and there are more occasions when they get something which you want, and conflict sort of develops, hatred comes in, and this hatred is turned into jealousy, that you want things taken away from your brother or your sister because you wanted it and they got it. So this, and obviously, and also for people who share the same profession, for example, an alim is more likely to be jealous of another alim rather than a merchant, somebody who's got some shop somewhere. He is not worried about it. It is not his fear. His fear is these alims, and if he gets something good, he said, why did he get it and I should get it, and all this sort of thing. And a merchant is jealous of another merchant, and a student of another student, and a mother of another mother, and a brother of another brother, and so on and so forth, rather than sort of a merchant being jealous of an alim, because it's not his fear, he's not worried, he's always preoccupied with his profession. So he said, this is where we should be looking for. And as far as alim, I mean, he said, even in hadith we find that it is said that ulama are the most, one of the biggest vice they are inflicted with is hasad of another alim. But he said this is because these ulamas are after worldly affairs. And if they are for a hereafter, there would be no hasad. Because in the hereafter, things are plentiful. And there is no sort of lack of things, and there is no conflict. So the next thing obviously looks at is dhammud dunya. That is, dhamm is to criticism. In the hadith, we have thousands of it. Many of you will not like it, but we will explain it. That this dhammud dunya is the root, or dunya, or this world, is the root of all evil that comes out of it. It is. Hatred is also because of worldly things. All the other things that we have mentioned, all the vices, comes out because of the love of this world. And that's why in the hadith, it has been sort of criticized a lot, and we'll try to give a right perspective to it. But as we said, it is because world is limited. Resources in the world are limited, and that's why there is conflict. And we have to overcome this conflict. And all the dhammud dunya is that we do not sort of go madly after it, as we will see next time, inshallah. We'll stop here and continue next time with dhammud dunya.